Father God, we just come to you today in the name of Jesus. We're so thankful that we can. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful name of Jesus, your written word, and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And God, you said in your word, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, be made from authority over us. So, Lord, we thank you for our president and vice president, senators and congressmen, the legislators, the Supreme Court, and governors and mayors and police officers, the armed forces, the CIA and FBI, the judge of our land, for their staff, families, administration, loved ones. We claim their salvation, deliverance, and protection, and they hearken diligently to voice the word of God. We thank, Lord, for leaders around the world, for nations of the world, for Russia and the Commonwealth, the European nations, the Muslim nations, Arab nations, Asian nations, the third world countries, the communistic nations in Israel, that every nation has the gospel preached as a witness, and then the end come. So, Father, we just pray for all those laborers out there. Though we know a few, God, you know every single one of them. Thank you, Lord, that you anoint them and equip them to do the work, Lord Jesus Christ. That you raise up people, pray, intercede them, support their ministries financially, so the work of God will abound and doors of utterance be opened to them. And Father, we thank you most of all for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus paid salvation price. And God, because of that, we just believe this world is saved, delivered, and set free. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes them should not perish but everlasting life. And God, I thank you for anointing me today, that all people say and do what you have me say and do. Thank you, Lord, for giving me utterance of the Holy Ghost. And I pray for all of us, Lord, as we hear your word and hear from the Holy Ghost, that we'll go forth and become doers of your word and led by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. All right, before you're seated, lift up your Bible if you got yours with you. And let's make this faith confession together. God, I thank you that I have a Bible. It's the written word of God. And I believe that I am what your word says I am. Your word says I can do all things through Christ, that I have the mind of Christ. The greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So I thank you, Lord, the greater one indwells me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn around, shake somebody's hand before you're seated. Tell me glad to see him. Maybe you're already seated, huh? Okay, let's open our Bibles over here to, we'll go here to the Gospel of John, please. And I want to read here in John chapter 3. Now, the Scripture says here in verse 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, notice here what Jesus said here. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but everlasting life. And then while you're here in the Gospel of John, please go with me over here to the 14th chapter. And Jesus said this in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'll receive to myself that where I am, there be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said this in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. If you have known me, you should have known the Father also. From henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip seen him. Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he has seen me, has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sakes. Verily, verily, I say in you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, but the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will give it you. Now, I want to go over here to the Gospel of Mark, please, and read here from Mark chapter 16. If you got that bulletin there, you can just jot down these verses here. Mark 16. Now, Jesus said this in verse 15, beginning, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, they shall speak in new tongues, they shall take up serpents, drink deadly things shall not hurt them. they shall lay hands sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord spoke to them, he's received up to heaven and set at the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen? That's what the word said. Okay, and then over here in the book of Matthew, now the scripture says here in Matthew chapter 6, and let's start here in verse 25. There, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, well, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body of what you put on it. For life is more than meat, and the body than raiment. Behold, the fowls there, for they sow not, neither reap, nor gather into barns, yet let your heavenly Father feedeth them, and ye are not, are you not much more than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add a cubit to a statue? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither they spin. And then I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the heaven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we clothe? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth what that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now again, notice what Jesus said. I'm going to use this verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And now I want to go here to Luke, please. And let's read here from Luke chapter 9. Now we'll start in verse 57. And it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow thee whitherso thou goest. And Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds there have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but go you and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell to them which are at home at my house. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And then to back all this up, we'll read here in an epistle letter here in the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2. Now notice here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 21. Now Jesus said this, or the scripture, the Holy Spirit said here in verse 21 of Philippians chapter 2, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. Now we read there that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. You know, there's something about God. He wants to be first. And there's something about the devil is the devil wants to do everything he can to keep you from making God first in your life. Now, having God first in your life is not something that's just tested when you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. It's going to be tested probably every day of your life or almost every moment. And there'll be something that you're going to know that God wants you to do. Now, first of all, he's going to want all of us to do the word. He told us to be doers of the word. How many times, you know, and we probably all said this at one time or another, you'll hear people say, well, I'm trying to be a good Christian. How many knows that's not a verse? Right? Or you'll hear people say, and of course, we've probably never said this, huh? People get frustrated. They'll say, well, I'm doing my best. How many knows that's not a verse? He never told us to try to do our best. He said to be a doer of the word of God and not just a hearer only. So we don't get a way out because we tell God we tried or I did my best. He's going to want us to always do his word. Now, Satan is going to come to your life and to your mind and bring all this divisions and distractions to keep you from putting God first. So it's always going to be tested. And with God, there's just first place. He doesn't want him to be, second place in your life. He don't want to be third place in your life. You know, it's kind of like when you ran track or whatever sport you was in. There was just one ribbon. It was first. That's what you're going for. You're running the race that you may obtain the prize. Well, God wants to be first in our life. And he said if we'll put him first, that everything that we've been worrying about will be added to us. So Jesus told us, take no thought. One translation says, don't worry about anything. What are we going to eat? I mean, he's not saying don't plan, because you'd never have a meal if you didn't plan. But don't worry about what I'm going to wear or what I'm going to eat or where am I going to live. And this is the pressure will come to you from the world. What are you going to have to eat? Where are you going to have a place to live? So you want to answer these things back when they come to you and talk this way and just say, yeah, in Jesus' name, I always have plenty because Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. And God wish above all things that I prosper and be in health. Like Paul said, what shall we say to these things then? If God be for us, who can be against us? And those thoughts that come to your mind, you need to talk back to him. And realize that God's going to want you to put him first. And there'll be all kinds of pressure to put your job first. To put your flesh first. You can see this man, you know, he said, let me go home and bury my father. In other words, I'll wait until my dad's dead, then I'll come and follow you. Well, then God's not first. If he tells you to do something, then he wants that done now and he wants to be done first. And going to church isn't putting God first. I grew up in church. That's a given. Takes no effort to do that. But doing the Word is going to take a lot of work and effort. And doing the Word is what's going to get you to receive what you need from God. Now, when it comes to with God and you, your salvation, it's all through Jesus. It's not Jesus and something else. It's not Jesus and keep the Sabbath. It's not Jesus and keep the law. It's not Jesus and get water baptized. It's not Jesus and go to church. It's Jesus only. Because if you add anything else to Jesus Christ to try to get saved, it's nothing then. It's zero. So all you have to be saved is Jesus Christ and him only. Once you add anything else, then you're not saved. You can only be saved by the blood of Jesus. And through his lordship is the only way you can get in God's kingdom. Now, you don't have to be good enough now to get to heaven. What about sin? The reason you don't want to sin when you become a believer is because you don't want to give any place to Satan. If Satan can get you to sin, then he's got access to your life. The scripture said, and neither give place to the devil, that him that stole steal no more, but let him labor his hands the thing which he have need of. In other words, to give to others that has need of something. So why we stay in the Word and read healing scriptures every day? It's not that we're trying to talk God the notion to bless our health. God's done everything he's going to do. He's already redeemed us. He's already delivered us. What we're trying to do is get ourselves built up because we got an enemy. His name is Satan. And he comes around looking for someone that's weak. So your salvation isn't earned. You can't read the Bible all day long and please God. And then he says, okay, when you die, you get to go to heaven because you read the Bible or you preached the gospel or you traveled around the world or you gave all your money away. The only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way. There's no other way. He said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. Now, religion comes in, and it wants to tell you, that's good, but you got to do something else. Not to be saved. Not for salvation. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. And see, your religion will tell you, you need to do something real good. Well, doing good deeds, you'll reap what you sow. But you cannot get to heaven by being good, by being a good person. Nor could you by keeping the law. I want to read this to you from one of those Bibles we got back there, the New Living Translation from Galatians. Now, this is written to Gentile Christians. Now, the Scripture says here in Galatians chapter 3, now just listen to these words. Now, beginning in verse 10. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under His curse. For the Scripture said, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commandments that are written in the book of the law. So it is clear that no man can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the Scripture said, it's through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of the law, which says it is through obedience of the law that a person has life. Now, verse 19 of this same chapter. Why then was the law given? We know it's the Ten Commandments. It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave the law through the angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Now, a mediator is helpful if more than one party must be reached in agreement. But God, who is one, did not use a mediator when he gave his promise to Abraham. Is there a conflict then between God and the law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we could have been made right with God by obeying it. But the Scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by receiving Jesus Christ and believing in Him. So when you receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God now. And everything that's in that new covenant is a promise, belongs to you. You have benefits. Now, what you've got to do usually is start renewing your mind to God's Word. Because many of us were taught that God doesn't want us to have the best. Like I told a person the other day, we've had the idea that why have the best when the other will do? But as God's child, He gave you benefits that belong to you. It's part of your covenant that you have with God that was shed by Jesus Christ. And the reason that Jesus Christ is good news to this world, the gospel means good news, is because God's no longer imputing people's trespasses, and yet people don't know this. I know I didn't. God, through Jesus Christ, has cleansed us from the sins of mankind. So there's peace with God towards man. Peace on earth. What do you mean? In other words, God, through Jesus Christ, made peace with people, with mankind. Now, we don't have peace among ourselves. That's why we have war. But God made peace with us through Jesus. So there's no longer the worry or the fret of the wrath of God. Because we're in the new dispensation. We've got a new covenant. Jesus bore our chastisements. He bore our griefs. He bore our sorrows when He hung on that cross. Jesus was never sorrowful. Jesus never did anything to be grieved or be sorrow that He did. He never sinned. So He could take the sins of the world upon Him. He could take our griefs and take our sorrows for us, our chastisement. The anger of God because of sin was laid upon Jesus Christ. And when you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're receiving God's pardon, your cleansing. Not only God cleansed you from all your sins, not only God forgave you of all your sins, but God paid for all your sins. He bailed you out. He gave you a free pass. So what God wants you to do is begin to believe in that you've got this new covenant. And in this new covenant, you've got benefits. It's the most powerful contract that's ever been in this world. that God made through Jesus Christ. And there wasn't anything that you could do to earn these benefits or blessings. God made it and had Jesus shed his blood so we could have it. So you want to be covenant-minded. When something, the most powerful Christians that I've ever known in my life were people that were covenant-minded. Like I told you about that Pastor Dan in New York City, he said, every time I play golf, it doesn't rain. I've got a covenant with God. And sometimes his deacons and elders will go golfing with him, and they'll take their umbrellas. He said, you're wasting your time. It never rains on me. And yet it's rained on them. Now people have the audacity to think, how could someone talk that way? Because he's got a revelation that he's got a covenant with God. That everything that God has belongs to you. Everything that God has. If he didn't withhold Jesus, he's not going to withhold anything else. Anybody give you their only begotten son, they'd a lot rather give you their cat. But they gave their only begotten son. And when he did that, he gave you everything else. He's redeemed you. He's delivered you. He's translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. There's two kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom of darkness that you and I were in until the moment we received Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And now we've been placed in the kingdom of God. And now what we're supposed to do is rule and reign in that kingdom in Christ Jesus with the name of Jesus by decreeing and declaring. That's what a king does. They set law. They decree. The most powerful law that you have in this new covenant is you put God first. And everything will be added to you. But when you don't put God first, you hinder the blessings of God from flowing to you. And it's always going to be tested. Satan wants to be first. He wants you to do something else first before you put God first. In anything. He does. Satan's not going to want you to start the morning out in prayer. He's not going to want you to start the day out reading the word. Satan's always going to tell you, you don't have enough money to tithe. And you'll live your whole life and never have enough money to tithe. It's not 9%, it's not 6.5%. Thank God it's not 6.75% or 11 2/3. We'd have to get our calculators out. It's upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay inside stores as God has prospered him. There'll be no gatherings when I come. And when we put God first, these blessings flow in our life. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Don't get caught up doing what the dead's supposed to be doing. Let them take care of it. Let the people that's putting God third and fourth and fifth, let them do it. But be the person, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get in this word, and I'm going to find out what he wants me to do. I told my church where I got born again, I'm going to find out, and I'm going to get into this, I'm going to find out what he wants. Because you got all these rules and regulations, I don't think about them. We don't dip, we don't chew, we don't go with the girls that do. That was kind of their motto. But you can't please God by making promises to him. Oh God, if you just get me out of this, I'll never do it again. That's not what it works. You have to ask God to forgive you. He forgives you. But you can't bargain with him. Oh God, I promise you, that's not how this covenant works. You receive everything that he's already purchased for you by faith. That's why people have been saved for years, can't understand how some backslidden person comes along and gets all their blessings back, like the prodigal son versus the elder son. The elder son couldn't understand. Well, I've been here all this time, you never threw a party. Well, son, all that I have is thine. In other words, you could have had it all along. People I got saved around, they would say things, well, it's going to be worth it all when we get to heaven. It's worth it all now. And then some people in Bible school, I'd hear them say, well, I'm going to tell you, they begin to talk about where they used to live, the state and the city they used to live in, and the income they used to have. And let me tell you something that we used to eat. Every week we had. And we had that and we had this. I could name their names. They talk about what they had. It's kind of like the children of Israel did when they're in the wilderness, the melons we used to have. Some people are watermelon-minded. They talk about the melons that they used to have. No, but Jesus said, once you put your hand to plow, emphasize them both of you, you don't look back. One of the first things I'll teach you on a missionary trip is you never talk about your home country. You never bring up what you left. That's why I used to get God mad at the guys in jail. Why do you come here and tell these guys that your wife's at home and your children's home and you've got a beautiful house and you could have stayed there, but you came down here to tell them about Jesus? Why tell them that? You don't want me here, stay home. Well, you're not even a member. That's all they could counter you with. And so some students would talk about what they left. Left what? If you're doing what God told you to do, would you leave? You got stuff smart. You couldn't have had any of that without the breath he gave you anyway. What do you mean you left something for God? He leads you into greener pastures. He makes your day brighter. He blesses you more when you follow him, when you put him first. There'd be a class in Bible school. They'd say, now don't put your ministry before your family. And a lot of preachers teach that. I'm going to tell you, they're wrong. You put God before your kids. You put God before your spouse. You put God before everything. God, before your kids, before your husband, before your wife, before everything, God first. Some people put their family first. They put their job first. It comes to all of us, folks. It's always tested. Satan wants you to put something else first before God. He gets you so wrapped up, spending all your time doing this. I'll tell you something. When I get the kids raised, then I'm going to serve God. When I get this bill paid, then I'm going to die. When I get this done, Satan always have you when you get something done. When something happens, when I finally get this, then I'm going to do this for God. Let me go home. I'm going to bury my family, and then I'll come back. Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. But first, the last thing God wants to hear or anything like this from you is but first. But first, I'll go do this. But I've got to do this. Because the pressure will come to you. You've just got to do this. No, Jesus comes first. God comes first. His word comes first. When something comes up, the first thing you want to think of is, what does the word say about this? And when something comes up, the first thing out your mouth ought to be what the word says. When something comes up, the first thing you want to think of, I've got a covenant with God. In the name of Jesus, I bind this because God gave me the keys to the kingdom. And he said, whatever I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. He said, whatever I loose on earth shall be loose. I'm not only in God's kingdom, I've got the keys to the kingdom. And that's what Jesus gave you. And you've got to become covenant-minded. You've got to become minded that you're in God's kingdom. God has his kingdom. When you got born again, you're in it. You've been adopted in it. You've been grafted in it. You're a child of God through the blood of Jesus. And it's not and something else. Religion wants you to do penance. Religion will put guilt on you for the sins that you've committed and tell that you're paying for your sins. But when Jesus went on that cross, Isaiah chapter 53, he took our sins when he went on that cross. So you want to bring that up to the devil when he brings up your past life, whether it was 20 years ago or 20 minutes ago. It's underneath the blood of Jesus. Yeah, but you don't have this because you sinned. Read Satan the Bible. Show him the word that Jesus took your sins. He who knew no sin became sin that you might be made the righteous of God in Christ. You've been justified. Simply means as though you've never sinned. Act like you've never sinned. Think like you've never sinned. Talk like you've never sinned. Believe like you've never sinned. And just keep acting and thinking and talking like you've never sinned. Friends will try to put it back on you. Relatives will bring up about what you did. How about that time you did this? It's underneath the blood of Jesus. God doesn't remember it. I'm not thinking about it. I refuse it. And Jesus, that's how you act. You've got a covenant with God through the blood of Jesus. You've got the name of Jesus that's above every name. You've got God's word that hasn't met an enemy that it can't handle. Satan is defeated. He's under your feet. You're in God's kingdom. The kingdom of God's in you, and you're in it. And what God wants to do, he wants you to rule and reign in this life until that great day you get to be a Jesus. And where people make blanket statements, well, you know, now God is able. God is able. God is in control. You know where God is in control? In His kingdom. He's king of His kingdom. And there's going to become a day when there's going to be a new earth and Satan's going to be gone from human contact. And everything God wants done will get done. Until then, you've got this spirit that comes to you to resist what God wants done. Tells you you don't need to do it. But what the Holy Spirit tell you to do? What'd you get in prayer? What'd you get in your spirit? The Holy Spirit bears witness your spirit about what to do. And then watch, something else comes up. One of the hardest things I had to do after I've been praying is go tell my mom I'm going to Bible school. And boy, this is going to be difficult. My dad just died. And my mom doesn't drive. Still doesn't. Thinks she'd learn. And I go to tell her, Mom, I'm moving. I'm going to Bible school. You know, people criticize you for doing your best to follow God. And folks, you know, the devil, he'll battle your emotions and your feelings. And people that, you know, they'll say you're different. Well, you know, if you follow God, you will be different. The thing is, you want to be different than people, but you don't want to be different than the Bible. You don't mind being different, but you're not different than the Bible. You're just different the way other people live their life. But people tell you what they expect you to do. And they'll tell you, you just got to do that. You have to be at the wedding. No, you have to put God first. And you need to, the more you say that, the more your mind will be renewed to God's word. No, all I have to do is do what God told me to do. Well, if you're a good Christian, you'll be there. Says who? And this is what God wants done. Says who? So your people will say, God is in control. What verse is that? God knows what's best. And the next part is, in these things we don't quite understand. What verse is that? They cut off John the Baptist's head, and Jesus did not say, God knows what's best. He's in control. These things we don't quite understand. He's working something out in John's life. He had a perfect opportunity to be able to say stuff like this. When Jesus on the back of the boat, he'd already said, let us pass over the side. He goes to the back part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they woke him up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he got up and stood on the bow of the ship and said, peace be still. Now, if this had been most Christians, probably even me, before I got a hold of the word, definitely me. I'd have said, let's just all join hands and let's sing Kumbaya. Because we're going down, blah, 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 blah. And if God doesn't, blah, 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 blah. If he don't do something, we'll go down for him. This isn't a time to throw a prayer meeting. This is a time for someone to stand up and say what the word says and use their authority. Jesus had a covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, and you've got a better covenant established on better promises. He said, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for people to take authority over the Katrinas. He's looking for a people not to pray about this, but talk to this stuff. Act like you're in the kingdom. Act like you're in God's kingdom. Act like Jesus acted like. What would Jesus do? He would do what he did. What would Jesus do? He turned the tables over. He spit in somebody's face. He called somebody a hypocrite. And religion can't handle that. There's a church that's got 4,000 people here this morning. somewhere in this state, they don't have me there. I can whittle this down to 19. You give me a church and let me walk in the door, and they got 4,000 this morning. Let me speak in both services. Next Sunday, they'll have 12. And not everybody can do that. Yeah, sure, because you've got a lot of people that's just seeker pleasers. They're seeker friendly. And that's what they're taught in their universities. You know what happened to theologians? They read a book that was too big. You know, you go back there and read those mini books, that's okay. But you start reading commentaries and they're this thick, your head is going to get nailed with a lot of men's ideas. The rudiments of this world, philosophies of men, all those are to take the place of the anointed of the Holy Spirit to manifest through a believer. That's what happens. As soon as you start reading all that other stuff, you lose your anointing. Now you've got a good message. You've got 6 points, 5 Greek words, 3 Hebrew words, and maybe a Hebrew song. You got to believe God on English, let alone Hebrew. And people hear that, and the devil can sit back and file his nails because you have no power in manifestation. Satan's not going to want you to know anything about Satan. He doesn't want you to learn anything about him. He don't want you to believe in him. He wants you to blame God on everything. And you take the credit for all the good that happened to you. Blame God for the bad. You take the credit for the good, and Satan will be pleased. So we've got people that don't know about using the name of Jesus. Something happens. Maybe it's God's will. They'll just blankly say stuff like, well, the will of the Lord be done. God is in control. God said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, my brethren, think on these things that are honest and just and pure and lovely and virtuous, good report, stuff that's praiseworthy. Who's going to do this? You've got to do it. This ain't something God's going to do. If you don't make your mind think on this stuff, it ain't going to happen. And people just make blanket statements that God is in control. Why? When there's a great disaster, when there's a huge wreck out there on 95. Some Christians say, well, all things work together for the good of them, love the Lord. Almost all my relatives talk this way. They want to blame everything on God that happens in their life. God is in control. God is able. I mean, some people think they're really gone on a limb when they say God is able. Well, God is able. Well, Sister so-and-so needs healing. Well, God is able. You got to take another step. He's done it. It's done in the Word. Begin to act like you're healed and talk like you're healed. Meditate on His promises. Renew your mind to God's Word. Tell Satan in Jesus' name what the Word says. Talk like Jesus talked. Say what the Word says. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. So if you're going to quote it, quote the verse. It all hinges on how much power you've got working in you. How much do you believe the Word? According to your faith be unto you. Jesus, you know, if it's your will, you can heal me. Go show yourself the priest. This guy should have been doing this a long time ago because of Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14. You got leprosy, go to the priest. What is Jesus telling me to do? Go to the priest. You trot yourself on down there and you get to the priest. I added the trot. And as soon as the man left, that he puts himself in position that he qualifies for God's blessings because he's doing what God told him to do. When you do the Word, you know that you're doing what God wants done. Just be a doer of the Word. Act like the Word. It's not enough just to hear it. You've got to do it every day. Think about what the Word says about this. Teach your children the Word. Teach them about the name of Jesus. Teach them that God has not given them a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Begin to have them say they have the mind of Christ. Begin to have them say out their mouth what the Word says about them, that they're delivered, that they're redeemed, that they're blessed going in, and they're blessed going out. Don't call them idiots. Don't speak fear to them. Don't speak doubt and unbelief to them. Speak God's Word. Have them read some promises. Have them memorize some verses, and then have them sell them to themselves. Teacher, where you go, you take your children, and you're teaching those children how to do the Word of God. You ever watch a mother duck with little ducks? Man, she can scold them in duck language. And they just, they're little, it's amazing how they're wound up. They'll get right in line. And she can make some kind of noise, and they, what's she doing? She's teaching them what God put in there to pass on to the next one. He said, God said about our children, when you rise up in the morning, you talk about the Word. When you sit down during the day, you talk about the Word. When you go to bed at night, you talk about the Word. And that's how children learn. They hear and see what you do. What they hear and see you do, they'll eventually do. Because you're teaching them. You're teaching them a spiritual trade. They need to hear you pray. They need to hear you praise God. They need to hear you sing psalms and hymns at home. They need to come in the house and see that you're on your knees. They need to see that you didn't eat today. You fasted. They need to say that you saw that you and heard that you prayed over the food. They need to see and hear that you took authority over your washing machine in Jesus' name and you're talking to it all day long. Washing machine, you work in Jesus' name. I refuse any malfunction in you in Jesus' name. We're tithers. And God said, rebuke the devourer for your sake. And they need to see that you always put God first. And they see that, they'll least know that there's two ways of living. The way everybody else lives and the way mom lives. Or the way dad lives. Or mom and dad. Or mom and dad and grandma. And they see that, and they practice it. There's no better teacher than you, being the parent, teaching them what to do. And they'll see that, and they'll see those principles that you do, and they'll follow you. See, it's not enough just to take them to church. You're going to have to do this 7 days a week at home. They need to see you, that you talk about the Word. When anything rises up, you say, no, that television is a liar in Jesus' name. We got authority over that in Jesus' name. They hear you talk that way? They'll think, oh boy, I guess I better hand the remote control back to mom. Because there'll be doubt and unbelief. And it will come in. And what you're doing is you're standing against it. You're coming against it in the name of Jesus. You've got authority in the name of Jesus. And no matter how everybody else talks, because they don't know how to talk. But we do, because we talk the Word. We don't talk circumstances. We don't talk feelings. We don't do things if we feel like doing it. We do it because we know we're supposed to, because the Word says so. And we talk the Word. We say what the Word says. We read our healing scriptures. That doesn't mean you're never going to get sick. That just means you're built up. You got to step above Satan now. You got yourself built up spiritually. So when sickness does try to come on you, you can say no in Jesus' name. I refuse that in the name of Jesus. We meditate on the Word. We go to bed and we think about Scripture. We take that verse with us at night. And we rise up, and we praise God. We get on our knees, and we thank God. And during the day, you can do the same thing. Problems will rise up, situations rise up, but hey, you've been putting the praise time in, you've been thanking God. You can get your kids all dressed up and take them to church and take them back home, and they can be the same as Helen, Mr. and Mrs. Rich did with me. Or you can do that and get them in the Word and teach them the Word and have them pray in the Spirit. Have them worship God. Have them give and tithe and do things and teaching them. This is Mark 11:24. You can pray the prayer of faith yourself. You can speak the mountains yourself in the name of Jesus. This is your responsibility as a parent. When you had children, you lost your life. When you follow Jesus, you're following Jesus. He's your Lord. You're submitting to that Lordship. You want to do whatever He wants done. He's going to want you to do His Word. If you love Jesus, you can't pay Him back. But if you really want to please Jesus, then do what His Father God tells you to do. Jesus always put God first. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he's finding out what God wants done. When they came up and said, your mother don't have room and your brothers to get in, he said, my mother and my brother are people to do my father's will. Jesus spoke plain. He didn't mess around. Your enemies are going to be sometimes your own household. They're not going to like it. Your relatives, your friends, they're not going to like it. Mine didn't. I'm not saying yours won't, but mine didn't. And they had an idea. If you want to prosper, if you want to be successful, put God first. You want to walk in health? Put God first. Not your husband, not your wife, not your church. Nothing. God goes first. His word first, and whatever the Holy Spirit puts in your heart about doing. You stay with God. Not the kids first, not the job first, not the family first. You grew up Italian or some other kind, you'll grow up putting your family first. If you don't get rid of this, you got to put God first. You just grew up heathen, you got to put God first when you get saved. Whatever it is, you grew up as a workaholic, you may just been used to putting your job first. Whatever they said to do, you did, and where they told you to work, you worked. And then you can receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Now, he's going to want you to put God first. And that means, number one, do what his word says to do. And not only that, but go by what you've got in your spirit, that inward witness. You follow that. You obey that inward witness every day. And it's not going to make you popular with people. They're not going to understand it. They're not going to understand, what in the world are you doing? Because people come along, the devil will use them, and they'll talk you out of doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so in Bible school, I heard people talk about, I know this is something you want to leave alone, Rich. They started talking about the state that they're from. Some people were from Michigan. They talk about what was in Michigan. Other people were from some other state. They talk about what's there. They'd bring it up. And there were certain places you would park, and you would have your parking sticker on your car. Once you left Bible school, you were to take that sticker off. I want to keep my sticker, so I took the whole bumper off. Had my bumper for a long time in our garage. Still had my Bible school sticker on it. Got a new bumper. Yeah. From my van. But I still had my sticker, man. But you parked a certain place. And there'd be girls, you know, and they'd come along, and they'd have high heels, and they'd come, and they'd park one of the places illegal. Well, I've got these nice heels on. What's the rules? They'll park there. What are they going to do? They're going to break you down first. And some of the guy, he talked about what he had, where he came from, what he left, and they don't even have any good food around here. I sure miss whatever it'd be. I miss that good southern fried chicken. They don't even have it here. Yeah, but so-and-so's got stuff. Yeah, but it's not what I had. It's not what we came from. They don't have any good here. Did the Lord tell you to come here? See, they make notes of this in school. They keep track of this stuff. They go over it. They hear things that you said. Can one of you girls scoot over? I need two people here. It may take a while, but one of you can do it. All right, come on down front. I'll be usher too. So, they'll keep track of what you say. And you come complaining into the office about the way things are, they've got stuff that they've heard you say. And we teach here that you have what you say. That what do we do for Jesus? It's an honor to do it. Because if you're ever going to go to the mission field, it's not fair to those tell those people what you left. So I was 100%, 150% agreement with this. You do something for God, be glad you can do it. I've done a little bit of traveling for the Lord. I hope it's for him. Be bummed out if you found out it was for you, wouldn't it? No, for him. And I've stayed in a few hotels. And I've got requests of non-smoking and got smoking. I got a pretty good nose. So that'd be an issue. Well, you know, you go down to the front desk and let them know, bless God, I request a non-smoking room. And, hey, you got to do something about this. Well, that guy at the front desk, they know I'm a preacher. Now, you can tell anybody what you want to think. But now you can't witness to them. How you going to bring up Jesus now? You got them told off. You let them know what you want. Now you can't talk about Jesus. Now they know you're saved, and they're going to talk about you. And be one other thing, Satan to tell them why they shouldn't be born again. I believe there's a lot of people in hell because of born-again Christians. I'm sure I've offended people. God forgive me in Jesus' name. If I ask the Lord, forgive me of that many times. I don't even know the people I've offended, let alone the people that I do know I've offended. And I have to believe by faith, by the blood of Jesus, that sin's been forgiven in my life. And that was a tough one to believe that I was forgiven of. But people watch you. They listen to you. And you can go down and ramp and rave all you want to. The plane's late. It's not leaving on a certain time. Well, maybe you should thank God it's not. You know? If there's someone on that pilot or that engine or they're missing a part. I was on a plane and they decided to go back and land. Now you're thinking. Trying to get an inward witness on this. Well, come to find out, a few rows behind me, they found a black box and they don't know what's in it, and they don't know whose it is. So they kept us all on the plane, on the runway. A couple hours go by. They come in with these people that look like they had were working for Beehives or something. Came in all this stuff on and took stuff out. How do you think that makes some people feel? What's it now? Some guy just forgot on the last flight. And the ground crew didn't notice on the next flight. Someone found it on the why we're in the air. Now, most of us wouldn't have said anything about it, but they told. No. Because you know they're going to have to land check this thing out. And you talk about people wanting free tickets. Or there's a snowstorm, and they cancel the flight. And they want customers, want the airlines to put them up in a hotel. Now, folks, we all pay for your hotel room. It's added to our ticket. It's not their fault it snowed. That's how people act. And I've seen them, and before 9/11, you could about do anything you wanted to do. But now, we got the air marshals. And thank God, people can't talk that way. But they go up, and they'd let them know. And they called up Comcast, and they'd got them told. And they told Bank of America. They got them told about that check. Now you can't witness to them. Because Gardenia that took your call, that's somebody you can't talk to about Jesus now, right? Because you already told Gardenia what you thought of Bank of America, what you thought of Comcast, and what you thought of your $37.19. Now, did you ever see Jesus lose control? And just tell her, let everybody know that you realize how much my dad paid for this? So you see, there's a big responsibility we have as believers. All of our Christian life. None of us have arrived, but we have to make progress. And God wants to use us. He wants to turn the volume up in our mouth where when we speak, things happen in the name of Jesus. He turned it up now, we'd probably blow out someone's tires in their car. But we could have that power flowing out of us in the name of Jesus that when we speak, God's able to honor those words. All we have to do is make sure every day of our life we keep ourselves built up. We keep ourselves sensitive to the Spirit of God. And don't get caught up in thinking that You have to do a bunch of good works to get God to like you. God loves you just the way you are. It's the devil that's going to watch you, and he's going to do everything he can to steal from you. So consequently, Satan's going to bring all the temptation, all the frustration, all the anxiety. I heard Norval Hayes say years ago, anytime you ever got a severe cold, it was Satan trying to kill you. I heard that when I first received Jesus, my Lord and Savior, and I heard Norval. Didn't know nothing about the Bible, really. All I know is Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But that's how Satan works. His whole objective is to eliminate us. So he's going to work on you. That's what you got to remember. The reason you pray every day, the reason you read the Word every day, the reason you want to do your best to walk in love every day is because you want to keep yourself built up so Satan can't touch you. So the fiery dart can't come in. It's not you're trying to do all this good works to get God to really bless you something because, look, you read your Bible for 2 weeks in a row and you got up at 6 o'clock. No, you're praising God and thanking God because he's worthy. But at the same time, that's building you up. You're getting stronger. You're getting so that, hey, look what you can do. I mean, think of, you know, if just one day you started exercising and you started doing some calf lifts. Well, you keep doing that, and as the process of time goes by, your calves are going to be strong. Now, maybe there's something else you want to develop else in your body. You could go to work on exercising that part. Well, spiritually speaking, when you're praising God and thanking God, when you're speaking the Word, see, people don't understand this. You're trying to tell your loved ones, read these scriptures, speak these verses, say what God's Word says. They don't know that. They've went to church, but they don't know anything about getting in the Word and using it. This is just a book to them. They don't realize these are God's words. You get them inside of them. My son, attend to my words. Incline they are my sayings. Let them not depart my eyes. Keep them in the heart. For their life, those that find them, health all their flesh. And God said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written there. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Now, what do you think would happen if a person would meditate on the word day and night, not let the word depart out of their mouth, keep the word tucked in their heart, and always act on God's word? You suppose they'd prosper and have good success? And what do you think would happen to a person if they didn't meditate on the word at day and night, they didn't speak the word all the time, they said something else? What do you think would happen to them? Two people. I call heaven and earth the record this day that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. When you choose God's word, you're choosing life. When you choose to go God's way, you're choosing health. You're choosing prosperity. And you're going to want it. You may not think you want it today, but you're going to want it. You're not going to want the surgery. You're not going to want the tubes. Thank God for all the help there is. But Satan works on you 24/7. And Christians don't know this. They're getting cotton candy at church, and they're not getting the word. Their pastor gives them cotton candy, passes them on the tush, and sends them out the door. I'm going to make you a spiritual Green Beret. I don't care if you like me or not. As long as you can stand against Satan, and he can't put something on you, and you're not going to get that across the street. What's across the street? You won't get that there. You got to know how to use God's word. You got to know how to use the name of Jesus. You know, one time, probably about a year ago, during, I think it was during the summer, Skyler's got like baseball practice. So he comes in, Stefan and I, we go to Starbucks, Stefan went to order drinks, and apparently his dad must have told him to read that little mini book, Charles Capps. Remember the ones, God's Creative Power, has got those confessions in it? Okay. So they had the cushion chairs there. And so he sits down in one, and he's sitting like this, reading those scriptures. You ever have kids? Okay. Don't you wish you could have done this to your parents? God, my dad. Boy, those thoughts never entered my mind set like that. So he's like this. This is okay if I tell this, Stefan? I've told it when you weren't here, so. He's like this. waiting for the drinks. The baseball game coming up. Now, you know, really, I try to be nice. And I think anger started here like a barometer. It started rising. I could kind of, you kind of sense it. If it gets up to here, it's coming out. And I try to push it down. It's going to get it. If it gets up to here, it's coming out. It's coming out. And it's just, Stefan's in another world, you know, talking to some ding-dong there about his drink. And I got this kid here doing this. He's like 9 or 10, you know, like this. He looks, there's like 4 more pages. It's like you think you got him there and you're pulling out fingernails. He got up to here. I said, what are you doing? My dad's making me read these scriptures. My mom and dad make me read them. Do you know why? Mm-mm. I said, well, apparently they didn't tell you, so I'm going to tell you, okay? Now, all Starbucks are going to hear this. Oh, I have to get up. I can't just sit there. I said, you know, you have an enemy. His name is Satan. Okay, you're not doing, you're God a favor by you doing this. As much as you don't want to do it. You got a kid in school picks on you. If you just belt him in the mouth, he won't pick on you anymore. Yeah. Boy, I hope his mother didn't hear this, you know. Just if he does something, just hit him in the mouth. He'll stop. Now, Satan, you can't see. But if you read these scriptures and get them built up inside of you, what you're doing is you're taking a sword of the Spirit and you're coming against him in the name of Jesus. And you're using the Word of God. He's a bully. He'll push you around and push you around like he did me because I was ignorant and didn't know anything about him. The reason your mom and dad want you to read these every day is not because they're trying to make you religious or church or anything else. They just don't want you sick. They don't want you to have any migraine headaches. They don't want you to have any asthma or anything else. So they're having you speak these words. They want you to do well in school. They want you to have the mind of Christ. Now, those aren't the exact words, but they got the point across. And I felt better after I did it. Of course, you know, he got a lecture. That's why we build ourselves up. But you don't know when this lunatic's going to show up of Satan. So he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When he comes, you just slap him back down with the Word of God. Remember Tuesday night? He's like that jack in the box. Every time he pops his head up, you slam him back down with the written Word of God. Satan says something, you say something. He says something, you say something. This may go on all night, but you keep talking, you keep talking, you keep talking, just outlast him. Happy Resurrection Day. Sure beats getting a flower, doesn't it? How about an Easter lily? We went to church and the pastor gave us an Easter lily. I said, Mom, he's a lily. He's a nice person. Oh, that's great. You went to church, and you can't tell me stuff like this. You can't possibly come up and tell me something without me overreacting by telling me you went to church and you got a flower. Don't do that. Just say, don't tell Brother Ed, my God. If he yelled at his grandson at Starbucks, going is what he'd do. You're okay, brother. Okay, so, yeah. And that's what happens to people. The same thing I did. You went to church, wasn't quite sure why you went. You left the same way. No, you grab a hold of God's promises. Monday, grab a verse. Tuesday, grab a verse. Wednesday, grab a verse. Thursday, grab a verse. Friday, grab a verse. God's not impressed because you and I go to church. God's not impressed the church we join. He's impressed when we take the word and say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, it's written. In the name of Jesus, no. Someone in the body of Christ is going to tell Satan no in Jesus' name, for it is written. 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 Just do what Jesus did. Just keep saying it's written. Teach your kids to do it. Teach your spouse to do it. Teach your loved ones to do it. Just keep saying it's written. It's written. It's written. And then say what's written. That's what people need to know how to do. We meant well, but we didn't have any power. We went because our parents told us we had to go. And there's poor souls today. God bless them that hasn't heard what you and I have heard. I don't mean today. And they'll go to church at the holiday time. And they got some demon spirit that's keeping them in depression. That's keeping them on some kind of drug, legal or illegal. Can't keep a marriage. Got problem heartaches with their children. Sickness and disease is rampant in their life. We ain't no different than anybody else. Except we found out what Jesus did for us. We're not trying to get healed. We're not trying to get blessed. We know we are blessed because His Word says we are. We know we don't have to walk by feelings. We don't walk by feelings. We know we're supposed to do this. We're just blessed God. We're doing it in Jesus' name. And we're doing it unto the Lord. And we just put God first. Anything comes up, the first thing you and I think of is, well, does God want me to go? Does God want me to stay? We don't leave our job because we want to leave it. We don't do nothing until we talk to our Lord. Because why? We're in God's kingdom. We follow orders. We do what He tells us to do. He says something to do something. You and I will probably never understand in this life why in the world we do what we do. We just do it because we know in our heart we're supposed to do it. Just like Jesus. Jesus did what His Father told Him to do. You and I do what our Father tells us to do. He's our Father. We just do it because Father told us to. God is our Father, and we're just doing it. We forgive the other person, have no idea why. We forgive them because we know God wants us to do. We bless someone else that stole something from us. They don't even know that we know they stole it from us, and they don't even know that we're the one to bless them. The only reason you and I do it, because we know that this is what God wants us to do. And we have a clear conscience when we do it. We know I did what God told me to do. I did what I had in my heart. Hey, who can beat that? If you had a child and they did their best to please you, how could you beat it? If you knew that they really thought this is what you wanted done. And that's what we do for God. You don't have to understand it. Just go by what you've got in your spirit. You got a clear conscience now. I did what I'm supposed to do in Jesus' name. Now I go to bed tonight. I can face the day. I can go to work. Like that morning, I'm already late to work, and I feel in my heart, I got this in my heart, go buy this family some groceries. I thought, I don't have any money. And plus, after I found the money, I thought, well, what can I buy them? I don't even know what they eat. They got children. I don't know what kind of cereal they eat. Maybe their mother gets mad if you get Cocoa Puffs. Maybe she wants them to have All Brand, you know, or some weird thing. You go to the grocery store, it's like the Lord didn't even show up. If He did, I didn't hear Him. I mean, He's with you, you know what I mean? So what groceries are you going to buy? What are you going to buy some family? You don't know. I don't know if this mother goes nuts over sugar. I gave a 3-year-old kid one time a lollipop, and the mother turned white. And she was already real white. You know those real white people? You ever seen them? She just turned white. And I said, he's had candy before, hadn't he? That's the first piece he's ever had. I said, well, hey, no time than better than now. That's not a verse. And so he's never had candy. Well, hey, let's give him a beer, too. No. So we got stuff like that. Well, I've never drank. Well, they have a special place for you, too. I heard Andrew Womack the other day. I was telling Earl this. There's two Earls now. Not just Earl J here. There's two Earls. Neither one of them have ever smoked a cigarette, ever drank alcohol, or ever drank coffee. Now, they were this way before they even came to Jesus. I don't like that. It's like, look, let's get them drunk. Now, the thing that Andrew said, I didn't do any of that. And I still didn't think I was as righteous as God in Christ. I got to reading the Word, and I found out I'm the righteous of God in Christ, no matter what I haven't done or what I have done. Because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and that was the greatest revelation to me to find out. So I went out and had a cup of coffee. No, I'm teasing. But you see, now you hear someone. I used to hear people testify like that. I thought there's no chance. These people are better people before they got saved than I was when I got saved. So like you've never hit your neighbor in the mouth? Nope. You've never been in one fight? Nope. After you got saved, you didn't do any of this? No. Especially after I got saved. Think of all the years you've known your husband. He's probably never belted anybody at work in the mouth, has he? There's people like this. They're just good people for the game came in family of God. And Andrew Womack is one of them. Doesn't bother me, though. I got the blood of Jesus. No, we're new creatures, see? Thank God you never did do anything like that. And I'm not advocating doing any of that. You know that's wrong. But you can't be good enough. The reason you keep yourself built up is because you're not trying to get God bless you. You're trying to keep the devil off your back. Always remember, Satan's the bad one. He comes, steal, kill, and destroy. Just keep your mind like you're 3 years old. Good's from God, bad's from Satan. Blessings come from God, bad things come from the devil. God doesn't tempt, the devil does. I've got the name of Jesus, it's bigger than the devil. I don't have to fear because God has not given me a spirit of fear. God is good, God's with me, he'll never leave me, he's always going to love me. There's nothing possibly I could do wrong that would stop God loving me. If I do wrong, it's the devil that wants me to do wrong so he can get me out there someplace where he can pick on me. As long as I stay over here, he can't touch me. It's like that guy's got the demon-possessed dog next door. You know, comes to the fence. You know that neighbor? Hey, I got the fence, dude. Look at this. It's like. You know, it's like. You got that fence up. It's like. I could do some other things, but there's kids. Yeah, you act that way because you got a fence. And I know a person one day the fence broke. The dog hit that fence, and it went, and now they're on the same side of the remember the guy doing all that? Ah! I think the dog was more surprised than the guy was. I mean, that dog had, for years, you know, those demon-possessed ones. Why? Because someone was teasing it all the time. Poke it with a stick. It eats sticks, man. Bite the end of it. Think what it could do to a calf leg. Well, one day the fence post just broke and it come laying down. Dogs like this, kids like this, peed their pants. Oh, my. Yeah, you and I just walk in love, keep ourselves built up. That shield of faith has got us protected. Why the world to think we're arrogant? Okay, we're a little bit. I got the name of Jesus. God's my Father. We don't act that way. Well, we didn't walk in love, do we? I got to apologize. Keep yourself strong. Walk in love. Keep yourself built up. So God can always protect you. He loves you. Ain't nothing you can do to get him to love you more. Ain't nothing you could ever do to get him to stop loving you. God is never going to stop loving you. Ain't never going to stop protecting you, trying to help you. He'll pick you up when no one else touch you. The reason we keep ourselves built up, because we don't have Satan touching us. And we want to be effective in interceding, praying for others. So when you're reading those scriptures, like Skylar was, just remind yourself, I'm eating my Cheerios. I'm keeping myself built up. This is a breakfast for champions. This is more than what Wheaties has in it. This is more than Fiber Bran. This is building my spirit man up. That's all I want him to know. The reason you're doing this is because you got a bully who tries to pick on you, and your parents are the only thing that happened to you. Parents get their heart broken when something happens to a child. God's our Father. He wants us protected, doesn't he? He wants our nation protected. He wants all of us to walk in the blessings.